How time flies. Last week, we welcome our pastor, Reverend Craig, to Sydney, and then he spoke at camp, and how quickly the week has gone by. And now, this afternoon, he and Mrs. Craig will be leaving us and returning to Singapore. Surely, we are going to miss them, and we have told them that they must come back again for our camp next year. All right? We will definitely want them to come back to us and minister to us. And this morning, it is my greatest pleasure to invite once again Reverend Craig to bring God's Word. The title of the message this morning is Godliness with Contentment. Reverend Craig.
Very warm greetings to all of you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'd like to take this opportunity on behalf of Xiaowei, my wife, and myself to thank the Lord and to thank Elder Koh in the session for this kind invitation and to thank all of you as well for the sweet fellowship that we were able to have with all of you, especially at the camp. May the Lord continue to bless you and watch over and take care of this church, because to find a church that continues to preach the gospel and to fight the good faith of faith, that good fight of faith, is very, very hard. May God be merciful to preserve his people and to preserve this church, even unto the day when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. This morning we're going to look at a very important topic, godliness. Godliness must not be confused with holiness. Godliness describes our character, our nature. Holiness describes our life in Christ Jesus, how we obey the law and how we will do the will of God in our lives. But this morning, we are going to talk about godliness. The world loves money. The world believes that money makes the world go round, and without money, we cannot live. And so you find that the world will do whatever it takes to pursue after money. Money can make or break a person. When a person is bankrupt, he is at wit's end. He feels hopeless. He will do desperate things. Yesterday, they caught the man who murdered a father and a son. He ran away. He was a policeman, or it is alleged that he was the murderer. He was a policeman of 14 years. It had just been revealed that on the day when he killed, or alleged to have murdered, the father and the son, he was declared a bankrupt. He owed the bank to the tune of more than $60,000. And so he did a very desperate act. He murdered. If he is found guilty in Singapore, I'm sure you know that the penalty will be death. He was prepared to pay with his life when he took two lives. He was caught when he was in Johor, together with the Malaysian police. The Singapore police nabbed him within 56 hours, according to the newspaper. What a world we are living in. We fail to realize how precious our life is, and we spend most of it pursuing money, because we believe that money means everything to us. We wake up, before we go to sleep, we spend as many waking hours that we possibly can afford to make money. And we want more and more and more money. Do you know how rich is the richest man in the world? $73 billion. That's how much this man, Carlos Helu, probably, I think he is a Mexican, is worth. $73 billion. Second, Bill Gates, $67 billion, and there are many, many more who are in this billionaire club. Is this good? Is this what you are vying for? Work very hard to gain as much money as you possibly can, because you think that that is real wealth. We fail to realize how precious life is. Life on this earth, do you think it is worth it to spend your precious seconds that you have on this earth before you die? pursuing after what the world has dictated to us, money. It is sad when we think that without money we cannot live, when in fact it is without God we cannot live. Not money. We can do without money. There was a time when money never even existed, right? There was a time when people all trade according to bartering. If I want to eat chicken and I plant vegetable, I will exchange so much vegetable for one chicken. And if I want a bed, I will exchange so much vegetable, you help me make me a bed, to a carpenter. There was a time there was no need for money, but money was invented to make business easier. You don't have to carry tons and tons of vegetable everywhere you go to exchange for chicken, exchange for meat, exchange for furniture, exchange for a house. So now they invented money. And so money now has become our way of life. But very often we forget. We use the word we because the Apostle Paul himself used the word we in this passage. It is a concept that we as Christians must never forget. Gain is not godliness. If you think that gain is godliness, then you are most mistaken. The Bible tells us if any one of us think that gain is godliness, such people, we must stay far away from them. That's what verse 5 says. Supposing that gain is godliness, from such, withdraw yourself. Don't have anything to do with such concept, with such people who promote this kind of concept, because very soon, this kind of concept may creep into your mind and your heart, and you may become like them. You may forget that I am a child of God. I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and as my Savior. Godliness is not something that you can gain or earn or buy with money. Godliness comes when a person realizes that he has been forgiven of all his sin. He acknowledges and realizes that he has sinned. He was born in sin. And only the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, was able to wash away all his sin and take away all his sins from his life. Because when he confesses Jesus Christ as his Lord and his Savior, he acknowledges that he died with Christ. And because he has died with Christ, this life that he's now living is no longer his to live any way he likes. He must live the life of the new man. And the new man is one of godliness. He has now been given the character and the nature of God. That's why we are called sons and daughters of God. The world can't see this. But one day the world will see us when the Lord Jesus Christ returns and take us home to be with him and then descend on the clouds of glory. And then the world will see us for who we really are. In the glorified body. Visibly they're going to see externally how different we look. But at this point in time, the Bible says we are already sons and daughters of God, children of God. That means we have the nature of God. That means we are already godly because of Jesus Christ. If you die in your sin, you end up in hell. Why? Because once upon a time, we were like what the Bible described in verse 4 and verse 5. We were proud. We knew nothing. But all we cared about was doting about questions. Doting comes from the word sickly. We were so consumed by all kinds of questions and strife of words, whereof it has resulted in envy, strife, railings, evil, surmising, evil, suspicion. That had been our old way of life. Perverse disputing, arguing with men of corrupt minds about this money, that money. This is my money, this is your money. And you keep on fighting over land, over property, over inheritance, over money, money, money. Thinking that if I have lots of money, I am godly. I have a place in heaven. This is life. God says, from such you stay away. This must not be found in the heart and mind of God's children. After Jesus Christ has washed us of all our sins by his precious blood, God says you are already godly. But this godliness alone is not enough if we do not understand what it means to be godly, to have the nature and character of God. It has to be accompanied with contentment. Contentment means a person who is in a perfect condition of life, whereby he says and he knows, I have no need of anything extra. In other words, if I have Jesus Christ, I have everything. That's what it means.
As long as I have Jesus Christ with me, Jesus is my Lord and my Savior, and I am a child of God, that's all I need in this life. I don't need anything more. I don't need any extra. I don't need money. I don't need house. I don't need the thank you of men. I don't need anything, because Jesus is everything. Therefore, you can take away everything else and I will have lost nothing. You can even take away my family and I will have lost nothing. That's what it means by godliness with contentment. I'm so thankful that I am a child of God. I don't need anything more. I don't need to get that master's degree. I don't need to get that extra postgraduate degree. I don't need to get extra promotion. I don't need to get that extra bonus. I don't need any of these things because I have God. And all I want to pursue is God. And all I want to know more is God. Because God has promised us, if I seek after Him, if I seek after righteousness, all these things He will add to me. And He will give us three reasons in this passage, from verse 6 to verse 9. Three very great reasons why godliness with contentment is all that you need. Number one, he says, it is great wealth. Great gain. This is real wealth. Now, how do you measure wealth? I was checking on the internet about some of these wealthy people, how they live. There's this movie star who just paid $30-40 million US to buy a huge mansion on one island where the person will have her own private beach. And then the mansion will have 7 bedrooms, don't know how many, 12,000 square feet, 9 bathrooms. And they took a picture of this. It was beautiful, it was spectacular. Where the background, you see the ocean, and then this huge mansion right on top of this hill. And this all belonged to this person who paid $30-40 million for it. Of course, this person must earn more than that in order to buy that kind of house. And then it is reported that this person has many more houses in many different parts of America, in New York, in California, so many houses. And this is just one of many. You think this is good? This is great gain? This is what you aim towards? You work so hard, 8, 9, 10 hours, to end up like that, to become like this? This is what you spend your precious life on earth targeting, aiming toward? And you consider this as great gain, mega gain, a big house? It's a mega headache. Isn't it true? Texas. Now these houses, homes that this person has will be all furnished. All the bedrooms are furnished with her clothes and everything. Now imagine she put on weight. Wow, now I've got to change all the wardrobe in all my 10 homes. You know the headache or not? Instead of changing 5 pair of pants, I could change 50 pair now. True? If there is a fire here, a fire there, oh, the insurance, everything, multiply 10 times. 10 homes, 10 times of headaches. Isn't it true? You have one home, the more home you have, the bigger the home, the bigger the headache. Is that not true? You've got to clean it, you've got to look after it. If there's a leakage, the nightmare has just started. You think that is gain? That is real wealth? The accumulation of large amount of money, homes all over the world. I can travel first class. I can even charter my own private jet. All these is great gain? That's what the world thinks. It's understandable. Because as far as the world is concerned, they want to build heaven on earth. They think that if they have a luxurious, comfortable life, they can get whatever they want in life. They can buy anything that money can buy. That is life. That is living. That is gain. That is wealth. Really? That is what? That's how you measure wealth? When you are sickly, when you are languishing in bed, when you are dying, when cancer knocks on your heart's door and the doctor tells you, you only have 6 more months. You think what comes into the mind of this person who has 10 homes and have millions and millions of dollars, you think the homes and the millions of dollars will bring any comfort to the soul? You think it will bring comfort? The person spent his entire life now in their 70s, and then now the doctor says, you only have 6 more months to live, maybe. If the disease doesn't inflame itself and gets out of control, if you continue to seek treatment, half of these 6 months you'll probably be in the hospital with all kinds of tubes in your body. That's all you have. Sure, you can have the best doctor, best hospital, best medicine, but that is going to be the last few moments of your life on this earth, and you have spent it all thinking that this is gain. Now, this is repeated over and over and over again in the past. I purchased one book for about $3 from Popular when they were throwing all these books away. And the title of this book was about poor, little, rich people. Because these were the lives of sons and daughters of multi-millionaire and multi-billionaire. They never had to work a day in their life. They were literally born with a golden, platinum, silver spoon in their mouth. They can spend $1 million a day for the rest of their life. If they live up to 70 years, they would not even dent their inheritance. That's how rich these people were. And then at the end of their lives, the book was called Poor. Why are they poor? Because when they die, they were all alone. They had multiple marriages, multiple divorces. They don't even have a proper friend. They did not know whether the person liked me or liked my money. And so even when they were genuine, sincere friends who tried to befriend and be nice to them, they became very suspicious. Are they liking me because of who I am, or do they like me because of my $1 million a day that I could spend? You look at the pictures of their homes and their houses, there are all kinds of decoration, gold encrusted, silverware, and they were so opulent that you can't even imagine that somebody would live in this manner, perhaps even only for kings and queens. But these people are just ordinary mortals, born in this kind of environment, and they die in this kind of environment, and that was it. They live and they died all alone. And in between, from the day they were born to the day they died, one big giant chasm of emptiness. No friends. They didn't have to do anything. They didn't do anything. What did they contribute to this world after they died? Zero. They just live. They spend money, they buy, they gamble, they drink. They commit all kinds of terrible sin. That's all they have. And that was it. And then they die. Now what kind of life is this? You think this is gain? That's it. That was their life. They spent every second spending, traveling. They're beginning to travel anywhere in the world in the best yacht, the best airplane. And then what? Tomorrow, same thing again. The best yacht, the best airplane. And then tomorrow, same thing. Best yacht, best airplane. And then that's it. You think that is gain? God says godliness with contentment, having the nature of God, and be very contented and thankful. That's who I am. I am a child of God. I have been saved and washed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. All my sins have been taken away. I'm no more an enemy of God. I can call God my Father, and I can pray to Him. I have a personal relationship with Him, and I am so thankful that I have this. And that's all I need. Everything else is just a time of ministry, a time of witnessing, a time of serving my Lord, and to tell the world that there is a Savior, that there is this Jesus Christ who is able to wash away all your sins and transform your life and make you like Him, like God Himself, just as He has touched my life. And I want to share with you and touch your life with the same message that someone brought to me and touched my life, and I want to do the same for you. You know how wonderful a life it is to live this way? To go out and to tell the world every morning you wake up, Lord, where do you want to send me? Who should I now tell the gospel to today? Use me. And then you go out and then you talk to 5, 10 people today. At the end of the day, you lie down in bed, you thank God, Lord, for 5 to 10 opportunities I could tell someone about the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the next morning, you wake up, Lord, who do I reach out to today? And day after day, with this kind of wealth, this kind of relationship with God, communing with Christ, isn't this wonderful? You think there can be anything that the world can offer that can even come close to add to this par excellence experience that you already enjoy? Isn't this great gain? Isn't this great wealth? To have an intimate personal relationship with God And if you are told by the doctor, 6 more months to live, praise the Lord. Lord, I have 6 more months to serve you, and after that, I come home. No need to serve you anymore. I can come home. Whether I'm in hospital, I can witness to the nurses and doctors. Whether I have tubes stuck all over my body, as long as I can pray, as long as I have life, I will share and I will be a godly witness. It doesn't change. External circumstances does not change godliness with contentment. Whether I'm physically healthy or I'm physically sickly, it does not matter. I can still witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, because that is what godliness with contentment entails. I tell people about Christ. I tell my children. I tell my grandpa. I tell my mom. I tell my friends. I tell everybody about Christ. And that will not change with the external circumstances, neither with your health. As long as there is breath in your body, your life is rich. Your life is godliness with contentment. That is why I don't like to hear people say, you know, we have a baby inside the womb, and the baby, the doctor says, may be born not so normal, will be this and that, no quality of life, and therefore maybe you should abort. Now, this kind of terrible advice, you're telling me no quality of life, so therefore I should take a life? So when you have an old folk who doesn't have any more quality of life, he's in a wheelchair, he's bedridden, most of the time he has to go in and out of hospital, no more quality of life? Who decides what's quality of life? He is a child of God. The quality of life that the child of God enjoys is godliness with contentment. It is not about physical mobility. The person has breath. As long as he has breath, his quality of life is his witness, his relationship with God Almighty. Don't you agree? It's not about material things, it's about mobility. Go here, go there. That's got quality. Can climb Mount Everest, that's quality. Can travel on a cruise, that's quality. That is not quality, that is deadness. The Bible tells us this kind of life, you stay far away. Don't have anything to do with this kind of life. Quality of life is godliness with contentment. That is true quality, because God says that is mega wealth. Nothing can take that away from you. Satan cannot take that away. Disease, sickness, death cannot take that away from you, because your relationship with God, your godliness that you have with God on this earth, surrounded by a world of sin and evil and sickness, you still have this rich life. God says that is great wealth. Nothing can take that away from you. All the other so-called gain or wealth that the world offers, the moment you are sickly, you think you're going to want to eat the best food? You think you're going to be bothered about sleeping on the best, most comfortable bed, flying in the most important, comfortable airplane? You think all these things? You just ask a rich person who is sick, you just read about their life. You just read about the last words of all these powerful, very rich people who do not know Christ. You read about their last words. The things that come to their mind will not be their money, their wealth, and so on. If they can just give away their billion and buy from the doctor another 10 seconds, they would do it. But doctor says, I'm sorry, I can't even give you 1 second. Don't ask me for 10. You can give me all the money you want. I can't even extend your life 1 second. And you spend your whole life accumulating all these things which you have been taught and told that this is great gain. But in reality, it is nothing but vanity, emptiness. Emptiness. You know, the air here is very good. I wish I could get a bottle and then cap it and bring back to Singapore. I have more success capping this cold air, bring back to Singapore, than you have. Thinking that collecting all these material things equals wealth. True? Isn't it? You think very carefully. We are surrounded by testimonies, evidences of people who have done it and wasted it. Don't tread that pathway. Don't waste one more second of your life. Especially if you are a child of God. If you are truly born again, you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. You know all your sins have been forgiven. You know you are bound for heaven, no longer bound for hell. And your life here on earth, you can't live any way you like anymore. You can't live for self, you can't live for money, because that would be sinful. That's why the Bible says you withdraw yourself from these so that you can withdraw closer to God. And then once you understand godliness with contentment, it is great gain, great wealth. Second argument, great logic. The Bible used great logic. You look, For we brought nothing into this world. Isn't that true? We brought nothing into this world. You know of anyone who is special who brought something to this world? You know of any baby, even the multi-billionaire baby, when they born to this world, yeah, they may be born with a silver spoon, right? That's a figure of speech, right? Of course, if there's a silver spoon, when they come out, oh, I've got a silver spoon, you've got a shock of your life. That's a figure of speech. I hope you know that, right? Born with a silver spoon, a platinum spoon in his mouth. That is a figure of speech. When a child is born into this world, the child is naked. You know of any child, even the prince, right? The prince of England. When they come out into this world, and I think Kate Middleton, right? That's her name. She's going to have a baby soon, right? Now you write to her an email. Please let me know whether the baby is born with... not silver spoon, with royal garment. With some kind of royal robe, you know, not like us, you know, naked. Right, naked, right? You see whether the baby will come up with a royal garment? Inside the mother will just come out. She's a queen, right? Princess, right? Whatever you want to call her, all kind of titles she has, right? Come out, the baby will still be like all babies. Naked, true? Naked. We brought nothing into this world, naked, absolutely nothing. The hands are empty, the feet empty, everything empty. And it is certain, the Bible says, 100% definite evidence. You can carry nothing out. You can take nothing out of this. When you get out of this life, get out of this world, you're going to take nothing out. Yeah, we will try to dress you up, and the Chinese are very good now. They make all this kind of paper aircon, paper computer, paper iPhone, paper everything. So they burn it, hoping that when you die, all these things will accompany you. They all turn to ashes, and that's where it will be, ashes. Nothing will accompany them, so please don't have to waste hundreds and thousands of dollars buying all these fake houses, fake mansions, fake airplanes, fake all kinds of gadgets, and then you burn them in front of this coffin, hoping that the person, when he dies, all these things will accompany him. It will not happen. Nothing. Because this person, when you bury him, will turn to dust, because he came out of dust, and he will return to dust. You cremate the person, what do you get? Dust. That's exactly what we came out of, and exactly what we will become. And you think that any of these material things will make any difference? You think this Carlos Helu, 73 billionaire, you think when he dies he can bring 1 billion with him? He can't even bring 1 peso, 1 cent with him. Isn't that true? He came into this world with nothing. And everything that he accommodated and he gains that he got from this world will be left behind, and he is going to leave this world with the same, nothing. He came in with nothing, and he will get out with nothing. He brought nothing in, he will carry nothing out. Plain and simple. It is clear. Everywhere in Singapore, there's this place called Choa Chu Kang, right? Cemetery. Right next to, not immediately.